Jared and Kyle, the morning drive on 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com. Your home for Chicago Cubs baseball. Game two against Atlanta tonight, 7:30, right here on The Hammer. So last night, Cubs do get that win. John Lester is pretty good.
Good enough.
Didn't give up any earned runs. I feel some kind of way about catchers going at it in the second inning.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't understand your problem here.
Why's he got to flex on him like that? Why you got to taunt an entire dugout? If you got a problem with Flowers, which is what he's talking about, and there's a chap behind the plate, that's fine. Well, why are you pounding your chest and pointing in the dugout? What are you doing?
He probably shouldn't do this every time he hits a home run. That might be a little bit much, but I would say that there's probably something between Contreras and Flowers or something that happened during that at-bat. I would imagine that when the strike was called against Contreras, Flowers sort of framed it up well. Contreras, I know, at least looked back at the umpire. Maybe he said something. Maybe Flowers said something back to him like, you know, turn around, or it was a strike, or something of that nature, and Wilson didn't like it. And you're over there all upset about this.
I have no problem with him jawing with Flowers. If they're going back and forth behind the plate like that, I got no problem. Where I got the problem is when you're trying to taunt an entire dugout. Because what then? What happens then? Yeah, I know you.
What
made
happens
the, you
is
made
they the, come out and nothing
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, you made that joke. But then somebody gets a little too heated. Somebody bumps into something. So somebody wrong, right? Now you're getting your own teammate suspended over what? A second inning home run? Single shot home run? It's not even like it's a walk-off or anything.
You gotta do something to keep yourself entertained.
This is game one, too. You don't think this is going to carry over the next couple of games? Guys are going to get hit?
Again, I just...
Over what?
I just don't care about guys getting hit.
Uh-huh. Because you're not the one getting hit.
Well, I'm not getting hit. That's clear. I'm not going out there to get hit. I would be laying on the ground.
Catcher's chirping you up behind the plate. You got a word or two. I got no problem with him knocking that dinger, looking back at him, and telling him to eat it. No problem doing that. My thing is, if you've got a beef with him, why in the world are you over there trying to flex on an entire dugout and bullpen like that? That's uncalled for. That part's uncalled for. I got no problem with the rest of it. You know, what are you doing calling out entire dugout? You look foolish when you do stuff.
Well, that's
like
fine.
That.
He can look foolish if he wants. I don't have a big issue. I would prefer him not to do it every time. Now, this is twice in a row that he has sort of been a little bit too demonstrative in his home run trot. So Joe Maddon probably needs to have a little bit of a conversation here with Wilson and tell him to cool it a bit for, you know, a month. But I don't have a big issue with any of this stuff. Why do we have to have a big issue with this stuff? I'm fine with Tim Anderson. I like it. We're going to see more of it. It needs to be part of the game. People think baseball is boring. Need to have people with personality. Anderson has personality. Wilson Contreras has personality. These guys got to show some personality in the game. I mean, it's the same with anything. People are drawn to personalities. It's a reason why, one of the reasons why the NBA is so popular when sometimes the basketball's not all that great is because of the personalities. I think football, to some extent, is the same way. And, you know, baseball needs to loosen up the reins a little bit.
You can have personality. Look at Javi Baez. Javi Baez got personality.
No, I know he does.
But I don't see Javi Baez knocking a home run and then pounding his chest at a whole dugout.
Well, he didn't pound his chest at a whole dugout, but his walk-off, how long did it take him to get 45 feet down the first baseline two nights ago? 10 seconds? He nearly came to a complete stop rounding third. I like it. I'm on board.
Yeah, but you're biased because this is your squad.
Oh, come on. No, I'm talking about I don't like the White Sox. I'm not a White Sox guy. I'll watch Tim Anderson hit dingers all day long. He hit one the other night, flips that thing like a back toward the dugout.
I'm all right with that stuff. I just don't see, it just seems unnecessary. You're right, Joe. Well, it is unnecessary.
Joe, I don't know. I'm not arguing it's not unnecessary. The guy's got a little bit of personality.
What did we do in buy or sell yesterday, too? There seems to be a rash of I'm going to do some taunting, and then all of a sudden, oh boy, I end up on the wrong side of the winning stick all of a sudden. That seems to be going around as of late.
What? What are we talking about?
Remember, yesterday we just talked about the pitcher from the College World Series pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Taunting the
guy.
Well,
if you're going to do that, you've got to be ready for the consequences.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I've said.
This is going to escalate.
Contreras gets hit today, he's got to be prepared for the consequences.
This is all going to start to escalate.
I would maybe not play him today. But, I mean, it's a game of consequences. There's consequences for your actions. There was for the dude who was mouthing off during the CWS, and there might be for Contreras if he's in the lineup today.
And yet,
don't hit guys in the head.
And yet, there probably wouldn't be any consequences had he just left it at turning around and chirping at flowers for a second. That's the thing. That's what kills me, man. That's what kills me.
The Cubs need a dose of energy these days, right before the All-Star break. And if Javi, doing Javi things, is going to provide it.
I thought that's what Javi was going to Starbucks for, right? Let's make a Starbucks run for a little
Contreras,
energy.
Contreras, then that's what they need.
Okay. Okay.
This has got you worked up, a little worked up this morning on this.
Just unnecessary.
I understand totally it might unnecessary. Be unnecessary, but
and then the consequences
like
that come
I'm
for
on,
it
I'm,
are
I'm okay
avoidable.
With it. I'm surprised you don't hassle me for being on with this because you think that I'm like some old curmudgeon that just likes.
No, you're just being 100% biased on this.
No,
I get
I'm
it,
not.
Because it's the Cubs. You're giving Wilson Contreras a pass because this is the Cubs.
Oh, please. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. It is.
Okay.
If it was an opposing team, yeah, I would yell at him. But I wouldn't have a different opinion on whether he has the right to do it or not. If it was, who plays for the Braves? Fred McGriff?
No, I'm thinking of David Justice. So I think that's the guy you're thinking of. It's David Justice, right?
Is it Ron Gant?
I swear, if you say Sid Bream, I'm coming across that freaking console right now.
No, if it's one of those guys, yeah. As a Cubs fan, I'm like, sit down. But as a baseball fan, I'm cool with it. Go do it.
So you're cool with it, but you don't want to see him do this anymore. That's
well,
all I'm
I
getting
think,
from you?
I think that...
I'm cool with it, but I want Joe Madden to tell him to knock it off.
Yeah, I mean, just knock it off. Just cool it for a bit here. I mean, it's twice in a row. He had one against the Mets, too, where he was a little overly, pointed at, fielders. I'm allowed to have both opinions that I'm cool with it, but at some point, you got to, cool it a little bit. And Madden will talk to him, I'm sure. But I take the same stance that Joe did last night. It was a bunch of nothing. Bench is clear, bullpen's clear, nobody does anything. Everybody goes back, sits down, plays.
At best, you hope.
Yes.
You hope.
I don't know how you can be a hockey guy and watch all the fights and then not and watch those guys have personality and then be upset about this.
I'm not exactly a huge fan of the fights, to be honest with you. I'm really not. I think it's I understand it's the fabric of the game to a degree, but if you're down 4-0 and you send a guy out there specifically to get in a fight to try to pump your team up, if that's what it takes to pump your team up, you got problems.
It's a long season. You got to do something.
You know, guys out there breaking hands, guys out there breaking faces, out for no freaking reason.
I would prefer if, the baseball didn't escalate to people's faces being broke. That would be uncalled for.
It only takes one punch, man.
No one got hurt last night.
No.
Fine. Some feelings got hurt, apparently. Tyler Flowers was upset. How is that not Javi Lopez, by the way, behind the plate? That was a joke.
I don't know what to do with you anymore. I seriously don't know what to do with you anymore. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll buy or sell next on 101. Jared and Kyle with the morning drive. Tonight, Atlanta in the Cubs, 7:30. Your home for the Chicago Cubs is 101.7 The Hammer. So something we kind of been keeping our eye on, we really haven't gotten into a lot because it's California. So, you know, it doesn't really impact us terribly, but it could impact the NCAA. The NCAA is considering a postseason ban for California schools if the state proceeds with a new amateurism law that would allow student athletes to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. That would kick in at 2023. USA Today reports that NCAA President Mark Emmert recently made an overture in a written letter to two of the chairpersons asking them to reconsider because they could wind up inadvertently triggering ineligibility for in-state California student athletes.
Yeah, that bill has been passed by the state Senate. It was so last month. I think it was like 31-4 or something like that. Overwhelmingly passed by the California State Senate. So it moves through the system in California. The NCAA certainly does not like it, threatening to ban teams. Now, I think that the bill says something to the effect of at schools that make $10 million or something for media rights. But that would clearly include most of the major schools, including, I think, four that are in the Pac-12 that are in the state of California. So the NCAA doesn't like it. Mark Emmert basically saying that it would upset amateurism in the NCAA.
It would definitely give California schools a huge advantage. That would.
Well, no doubt. I mean, it would help out California's recruiting if you could say that, hey, here at this school, at Cal, for instance, you can come in here and be the star quarterback and use your image to make money, sign autographs, whatever you want to do. I think that the NCAA knows that it's going to have trouble stopping this train. I just don't know that it has the, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that it can stop this train from going down the tracks. And California might be the first to do so.
Uh-huh.
As California is the first to do some things at times. And I just don't think that the NCAA threatening this, I don't know if it, I don't know. I don't know that it can stop.
Well, I mean, if they were to revoke
membership, basically.
Now, they're not, I don't think they can 100% revoke the membership. I think that's, the postseason ban is kind of like that. Hey, listen, these schools are going to lose out on a lot of money. I can see them maybe making them into their own kind of mini conference. Like, hey, guess what? You guys can go have a bowl game, something like outside the purview. You know, they're going to have to try to do something. They're going to try to quarantine them off if that's the case. I still think a much simpler, more elegant solution to this would to be, with all the money they make off of these athletes in a sport, let's say football for example, why don't you put that money into some sort of a pool or a fraction of your TV money into a pool that gets distributed evenly amongst athletes in the NCAA? Why not cut them in a little bit on it as an equal type share? That seems right. Let's just go, hey, look, you're not going to sit around and sign autographs and make extra money off of this stuff, but hey, we recognize that we're making a lot of money off you guys. Business is good. Let's give some of it back to you.
The people who have the money don't often just volunteer to give the money away.
Well, let's take a look at what the other option's going to be. Well, you want to turn it into Wild
West? That's why I'm saying that I don't think the NCAA here has a whole lot of power.
You got to do something here.
The NCAA also, as we have talked about this before on this show, started a working group of presidents and athletic administrators to examine some of the issues around athletes using their names, images, likeness, all of that. So the NCAA has tried to stay ahead of this, but I just don't think that it, I think it needs to try and stay ahead of it because I I think 5 years from now, I just don't think it's going to be able to stop schools from doing this. And if it thinks it is, these other schools are just going to form. You know, the Power Five schools are just simply going to break away from the NCAA and make their own association.
And then it just turns into the wild, wild west, right?
Well,
so I just don't understand why you can't come. I mean,
why you know, things can be broken up if they're not efficient. Huh? And if they're not staying with the time of the day, and if the NCAA is not, I mean, I think the NCAA is at least giving the surface appearance of wanting to talk about it. Now, you know, there's a big difference between putting some people together to talk about some things and then actually making a change. Those are significantly different things. So, you know, you can only take the NCAA at its word that it's examining these things, but I think that the trend here is that athletes are going to have some sort of likeness compensation. How that looks, I have no idea, and I'm not smart enough to figure it out.
And why not? Maybe there's a cap. I don't know. But here's the deal. I would really like to have NCAA football back. We all would like to really have NCAA football back. The video game. Be fantastic. Yep. Get the likenesses, all that stuff. And give them that share. Why not? That's not the end of the world. You're not hurt. Like, they are making so much money on the TV rights, so much money on all this stuff.
The people with the money don't want to give it away, Jared. The people with the money don't want to just give it away.
Well, here's the deal. You want to give away a slice of it now, or do you want to have no pie in 10 years? Well, what do you want to do?
That's a good point.
And that's what I'm saying.
Mark Emmerich's threat is a direct result of exactly what you're saying. Because you backed into a corner. Well, hey, we just won't include you.
Because then if you say, okay, we're not going to include you, and then some other states start following suit, well, then all of a sudden, what are you going to do? You going to exclude everybody?
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to decide they don't need you.
Correct.
So you need to sit down and figure out something.
That's what I'm saying. They can't stop. They're not going to stop the train.
They have gotten some kind of contingency plans for this. No. You know they do. They've got these things. You think literally this has been coming up for like what, the last 10 years, and they haven't sat down, had some kind of exploratory committee?
Well, no, they are right at one point. As of a couple months ago.
They got to sit down and they got to think about something to slow that down if they want to survive, if that's the case.
If they want to survive in their current form.
I'm going to figure out I'm with you. I don't know what that looks like exactly. I don't know if that's we cut them in on a percent. But whatever they do is, I think it's got to be distributed evenly amongst football and those basketball athletes.
Well, I don't know. How do you?
But then again, how do you sit there? How do you tell, you know, if you have the Big Ten Network and you've got to give these athletes an unequal share of your Big Ten Network money. Let's just say if you're Purdue, and I don't want to put them in a position, but I'm just going for instance here, okay? How do you sit there and tell a football player that you're going to give them the same amount of money as, let's say, a tennis player?
Isn't that the argument you were just making, though? There should be a pool?
Yeah, but you're going to have to tell, but at the end of the day, you're going to end up telling one athlete that they're getting the same thing as the other. I mean, is that how you're going to do it? Do you say, hey, listen, football is a bigger chunk of the revenue, so they get a disproportionate amount to, say, a golfer? You know?
Well, you can look at it even from, you know, within the same team. I mean, the number one guy on your football team compared to the 85th guy on your football team is going to have a little bit different popularity than another, so... I don't know what the revenue...
That's where the real slippery slope starts to get into. Do you just budget it to a universe? I mean...
I have no idea what the answer to that is, and nobody does.
I think the most simplistic answer has got to be that everybody gets the same cut, right? Yeah. That's the way you keep it fair.
How is that fair?
And balanced in the grand scheme, in the grand scope of it. Are you going to start saying, well, quarterbacks get a max of 15% and offensive linemen can only get a max of 5%?
I have no clue.
You can't let athletic directors...
Or it's every man for himself.
You can't let athletic directors run it like it's a salary cap, for
Pete's
sake.
I think Josh Rosen's idea, former UCLA, he was pretty outspoken about this stuff. Quarterback who's now, what, with the Dolphins or whatever. I don't know where he is.
Oh, my God. Okay, continue.
No, that's where he is.
Yeah, I know, but continue.
Was to have some sort of, like, postgraduate pool for each individual. So whatever he made as the quarterback at UCLA with his likeness, he would be given then after graduation, which I don't think is a terrible idea.
No, not a terrible idea, but I think part of the problem right now is, and when you listen to the NCAA athletes that talk about this stuff the most, they need that money in the middle of the year. That's where they're struggling, is while they're in school. That's why they want the money.
I don't know about that. I don't buy that argument as much as I buy that you just simply should. The argument to me that makes more sense is not the struggling athlete. And I'm sure there are some, but that argument to me is less so than just simply the idea that someone other than you is profiting off of you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a better argument for the likeness argument.
I'm just telling
you.
The
greater likeness argument. I think that makes more sense to me.
Those are the arguments that I'm hearing from the athletes. Whether or not you feel like they're valid or anything like that, that's up to you. But it seems like they want that stuff more in the middle of their seasons to help them with, you know, food costs, rent, that sort of thing. But yeah, I've also thought about something like that too, just being the post, hey, whatever you accumulate, cool, it goes into an account. Why not? You can make a little interest off it too, right? Let it sit in there. You get that when
the
you walk
NCAA
out.
Does not want this.
No, they don't. But they need to figure out something that brings the athletes to the table and calms all the talk. Otherwise, you're right, they could be looking at extinction. We have to take a break. Phil Steele coming up next here.
Hit Phil Steele with this question right out of the box.
No, we're going to be nice to Phil. We're going to be nice to Phil because I like Phil because he's a really, really good guest. I'd like him to come back on the show at one point. So Phil writes a tremendous magazine that covers every D1 football school down to the T. We'll get his thoughts on Purdue and the Big Ten as a whole next on